Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Martin Smith podcast. Today is an extraordinary day because I have such a brilliant guest. She's phenomenal. Let me introduce her. She's an incredible worship leader. The list goes on. Where do I start? She's a worship pastor, which is another level up, of course. Songwriter of some of the most amazing songs that we sing every week now. Record company owner, director, manager, CEO, interior designer, cook, hairstylist, mum to five kids.
That's a lot.
Married to Brian.
That's a lot.
Please would you welcome today the amazing Jen Johnson, everybody.
Hello.
So little clap from the crew. Thank you. Hey, thanks for joining me.
I love it.
We're actually in Nashville.
We are.
So, you know, you're obviously in California, I'm in England.
Yeah.
So what better place to meet than in Nashville?
Yeah, we're here a lot.
And we were part of quite an amazing day yesterday.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Doing all these old songs. And it's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Auntie Darlene.
Yeah. Cece. The Godmothers.
I know. Isn't it great to be in awe of people sometimes, like, wow, like, what amazing things have happened in your life.
Yeah.
But, well, look, I can't wait to talk to you because we've never really done this before, have
we?
No. I mean, we talk, you know, when we hang out.
Yeah, we've been friends for ages.
Probably not longer than 20 minutes because there's kids running around. And
a lot of them between you and I.
You know, yeah. And, yeah, lots of love from Anna, of course.
Yes.
She adores you.
Oh, I love her with my whole heart.
But I remember driving in my car maybe 15 years ago. I remember where I was. I was driving along the seafront on the south coast of England, and I put on this new stuff called Bethel, right? And there was a cover of the song My Soul Sings, which is an old Delirious song.
Yes, it is.
And I think Brian was singing it. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And so that was my introduction to Bethel music and all that you guys were doing.
I'm glad it worked. We tried.
And of course, like all these years later,
yeah,
you know, you're here in one piece, just about. We both are. And look at what God's done.
Yeah.
And he's doing. And so today it'd be just so great to talk about the miracle of life, Bethel music, the church, how that's influenced the world. But how are you doing?
Good. I still feel like I'm in afterglow of yesterday.
Yeah.
Just, you know, for those who may not know, we recorded this project headed up by Darlene Check and Michael W. Smith. And it included just about every song that in a big way was transformational in my walk with God, you know. I mean, I sang the songs that we recorded yesterday. What did we do, 13 songs or 10 or I don't even know. Every single one of those songs were just monumental. I can remember where I was when we, you know, first heard it. So I felt like I'm a bit of afterglow, and my hair's an afterglow too. So I just woke up and was like, wait, what was yesterday?
I can identify with that,
yeah. Exactly. Our hair says it all today. And it was a long day. We think we're there 12 hours.
It was, yeah.
Yesterday. So, but just to have all these just incredible heroes of mine, honestly, to be in the same room and to now be friends and treasured friendship with all of these people is just incredible. If you could have told my 12-year-old self that I'd be in that room with even one of them, much less, you know, 25, I just would have probably passed out. But just such special songs.
Yeah.
So we're here. We have a place here in Nashville, and our daughter lives here.
Amazing.
Which you adore as well.
Yeah.
And so we're here, you know, about half the time, still planted in our local church, still pastoring, leading, but just here and then everywhere a lot. So
amazing.
Just doing it, just serving Jesus and loving people.
I mean, on other podcasts that I've done with, you know, other people like Brooke and Darlene, and the thing that I think people are always intrigued by is how the level of friendship in our community. And I think that's something that we're quite proud of, isn't it?
Yes.
Because behind it all this, the making of the records, the songs, and we're on different labels and different publishers, and we do different things. the level of commitment to one another mm-hmm. is actually really high, isn't it?
Yep.
I think we all get this sort of feeling of we need each other. We're the team. We're the Levites, aren't we?
Yeah.
So I know for Anna and I, we've been so grateful for that over our lives.
Yes.
And of course, to get to know you and Brian over the years has been amazing. Mm-hmm. And be in your lives and, you know, we watched each other's kids grow up.
Yeah.
And now
we did a tour together with all of them. That was fun.
As little kids, and now they're all getting married.
I know. Grandbabies.
Yeah. I know. Now one's taller than me, and, you know. It's a miracle, though, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's a dream.
But where did this all start for you? Like, go right back to the beginning of, you know, you're growing up.
Yeah.
Like, how did this all happen for you?
I grew up in church, and my mom was walking with the Lord and was in church when I was born, yeah. and my dad had kind of walked away from the Lord, actually.
But where did you grow up?
In California, Northern California, actually really close to where Star Wars, the original movie in the Redwoods, was filmed.
Okay. Interesting fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I grew up in the beautiful Redwoods. That's why when we did the Come Up Here project last year, you know, to go back to my family's property and record it in the woods on my family property was
amazing
full circle for me. But I was born in, my dad was a fisherman, and he actually went out to go ocean fishing. And my mom was like, just take me to church. And my dad's like, I'm going to go fishing. It's my day off, you know. And so I'm newborn. She's rocking me home and she's going to go to church by herself. My dad goes out fishing, and on the way out, the presence of God fills his truck. My dad's a logger, just burly,
yeah,
beautiful.
A man's man.
Yeah. But like very soft and precious. And the presence of God fills my dad's truck.
Wow.
And so much so that he had to pull over to the side of the road. And when he does, God speaks to him almost audibly and says, if you go out today, there's no guarantee you're coming back and you're not ready to meet me. And my dad just sits, puts his head up, repents, balls his eyes out, turns around, goes back to my house, picks me and my mom up, says, we need to go to church. I'm a newborn.
Yeah.
Takes me to church, goes to the front of the pastor. It's a small town. Goes, I haven't been living right. Goes up, said, I need to repent in front of the whole congregation.
Wow.
Calls to repentance. And a move of God breaks out in our church as all these people flood the altar. And God had already been moving, but it was just kind of a catalyst to something. So I grew up in a move of God. I grew up in a church hungry for the presence of God. Yeah. I grew up knowing what the church carpet smelled like because we had prayer meetings and listened to your music.
Crazy.
Oh, just delirious changed my life. That's not an understatement. Delirious changed my life. And just the cry for revival and for hunger. So I grew up in a very passion, presence, hungry. And then we got connected with Bill Johnson. But we were always connected with what God was doing around the world in worship, whether it was Hillsong or the Vineyard or what you guys were doing. We just were always hungry for what God was doing in church and in worship. And so any cassette tape that we could get our...
I know. They were £5 to buy.
Wasn't
six
even...
Six songs.
Yeah.
I know.
I was in line at the bookstore. I was like headphones on, listening, like...
Oh, it's crazy.
Of all like worship and CCM and, you know, anything I could get my hands on. So I grew up as a lover of all that. And then I grew up leading worship in church as well.
Yeah.
Started leading worship. My first song when I was 5 at a women's meeting at
amazing.
5 years old, the Archaearchy. And then in kids' church and youth group and junior high and all the things up to big church. And then we moved to Bethel in 99 to go to school ministry.
Okay.
And so I met this cute guy.
Red, that cute guy. And I mean, yeah, he's got more muscles than like
he's a good
me
one.
Put together. Yeah, he's pretty buff, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, I've been admiring him from afar this week. So whatever you're doing, I need to.
Yeah, personal trainer.
But when, when do you think there's a moment forever? I'm going to ask you this. When for the first time you have that moment and you know, there's something in this.
Yeah.
When I sing or lead, or whatever it is, that something's changing in the room here. When did you know that?
I think having it be so part of my life always, I don't know if I remember that moment necessarily, because it's just kind of, I've always, since I was a little girl, I've just always had this God-given leadership that I didn't understand when I was little, but... people would just follow. And so I think in 99, when I moved to Reading and things started happening with songs and invitations to travel, I think that was in around the year 2000. I think that was really wild for me. Like, oh, wow, this is going to be something potentially bigger than just being a home church worship leader in a small Northern California town. And so I think that's when it expanded for me. We're in those years of going like, oh, okay, wow. And then just having it make so much sense that I had such a love for the global church and for all the denominations and working together and the unity of the church. So it did make sense. But I think it wasn't until later that I was like, wow, this, okay.
No, because that's something I really admire about you. I think, and I really love is you have this sort of ache, don't you? This sort of when you start to wail. And like, okay, there goes Jen, like she's off. And you're all in. It's like the whole world stopped. And you're in that moment. I think it's really special to watch. But just picking up on, you just mentioned about the denominations. For those that are listening, like, what is a denomination? Well, there are loads and loads of churches around the world. There are all these different people doing different things, Baptist, Methodist, and Charismas. What's fascinating about us guys is that we spend our life going to all of them.
Yes.
And I think, certainly for me, as a young person, I actually grew a lot of fondness for that. I found a lot of joy and I really sort of a lot of value in each camp.
You know?
Do you think that's easier for the music guys to have that affection? It's not like normal, is it?
Yeah, and maybe I didn't realize it wasn't because Bill Johnson, my father-in-law, Brian's dad, he's that way. I mean, he has such a deep love for the move of God. He has a one-liner that goes something like this. It's much more polished and reverent, I'm sure, but it basically says, celebrate who they are, don't stumble over who they're not.
Yes.
And
that is amazing.
I think that's so beautiful. And I think that's, if you can really do that, you'll get so much gold and they will get so much gold. And I think watching the cross-pollination, like you said, just there's so much beauty in the body of Christ. And if every denomination was a different actual body part, the foot, the ear, the nose, you know, we won't mention who the, the hind parts are, but I think that the beauty of being able to go to so many different from, you know, way back the Moravians, you know, we learned so much from Don Potter and Susie, and they were wild, you know, they were crazy. We were like, they feared no one. Yeah. They feared God and they just loved him and they were wild and they weren't trying to be showy, but, and then, you know, just the deep father's love that the Vineyard gave us, you know,
simple songs.
Oh, like, simple nail pierced hands. Yeah. Oh, see you later.
In your arms of love. I mean, I was 20 years old and that flooded the UK.
Melting.
These simple songs. And of course, you know, going to something and the worship leader wouldn't look up and even say hello.
Right.
So that was really weird for me, but like, that was the value of like, you know, we're just going to like,
the humility.
Yeah, just don't say anything. And, for everyone,
just like you and me, huh?
Yeah, exactly. We're like, woo! Are you out there listening? But what I think that the world we live in, I think that the maybe the preachers and the senior guys, they find it more difficult with the denominational thing. But I think because we all know that we're sort of blagging it.
Right.
Like, we're just like winging it, aren't we? We sing these songs, you know, if we're honest, a lot of them come from, you know, they come from heaven, like we're just sort of pulling them down. They're not, we don't really own them.
Yeah.
I think we just sort of carry it really lightly.
Yeah.
And we just have this deep affection for music anywhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's like gospel, you know, country, whatever it is. You just find God's fingerprints in it all, 100%. Don't you? So I think we then are like happy to work with anyone. It's it's powerful, isn't it?
And I think it's special because, you know, I know for us going somewhere and being a part of that culture, you come home changed.
Yeah.
And I feel genuinely that they are are changed by the Spirit of God in you. So it's just really, that cross-pollination is the best word for it, that the love of that, I think if people could really understand that and even go visit, my biggest encouragement to people and something that we've done and still do to this day, you know, last month we went to Passion. We didn't play at Passion. We just went to attend to be a part of what God was doing. We descend last week, you know, two very culturally different expressions of the church. But to be in the room when God is doing something, it's just profound and it changes you. So I think that humility and that hunger is, if people could really understand the beauty of it, would change things.
I agree with that. And one thing I've always admired about you is obviously I've seen this incredible curve of success, of songs and everything up and up and up and up. But what I've, what I really love about you is at the end of the day, though, through it all, you are still that revival kid, you know, 8 years old or whatever. And you will fight, you'll fight to the death for that moment. And I think that's what sets you apart, and I think that's what people don't always see, but I know that you do fight for that, and it's like there's such a strong DNA in you. And like, it's great that everything's going on, isn't it? It's great that people sing your songs and great blah blah blah, but at the end of the day, if there was a choice, you're always going to go back to that moment, aren't
100%.
You? And I think even now I can see with the new songs you're writing, that is even more there, isn't it?
Yeah. Tethered. So, I'm tethered to that.
Yeah. So, yeah, no,
maybe
I do.
Maybe bungee.
I do. I love that about you. But so talking about, like, the label, and tell us how, like, one sort of grows up in church, starts leading worship at a church, and then ends up with this huge record label. Tell us the story of Bethel.
Only
music.
The sense of humor.
It's like, why on earth did you do that?
Yeah, we still wonder. You know, back in the day when we, in 2000, 2001, we started writing songs, and we originally, you know, just looking and exploring the label scene of how do we steward what's happening. There's people coming to the church and things were growing, and how do we steward this? We actually initially signed with a worship label. Rita Springer was on it, and Tim Tabor, who I adore, ran it. And then it ended up going bankrupt, actually, which now Tim and I joke.
Was that your fault? Was it a bad record?
Yeah, probably. Sorry, Tim.
It's Brian's fault. It's songs.
He's... Tim and I have this joke now because, you know, then he went on from the label to start Transparent Productions.
Yes.
And then we started Bethel Music. And so we now thank each other for the bankruptcy, you know, because we wouldn't have become, I think, who we. So anyway, we tried that. And then after that, we just kind of sat with it and didn't feel peace to join anything else, but still needed to figure out something. And so Brian and a friend of his actually put their heads together and just said, like, well, why don't we start our own? And in a lot of ways, it made sense because honestly, like, looking into the music industry at the time made me sick. I'm a purist. More than anything that anyone...
Well, what made you sick about it?
The main thing, honestly, that it disheartened me was watching people forced to live their lives on the road away from their families and in an impossible situation to be planted to a local church. And I know, and Carrie, Job and I, we talked about this a few years back, you know, kind of surveying the worship community, that the people who are planted in local churches and have stayed committed to that, even if they've moved and had to replant, you know, but that if that's been a sole priority for them, that those who are planted in the house of the Lord flourish. That is an absolute, like, there are people standing head and shoulders above others, not out of any other reason than that right there, that the flourishing of God that comes with being planted and undercovering and serving. And and so I think that, you know, that became a huge, like, standout.
Because I sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I remember that as well, coming to America for the first time, almost the irony of, so just to explain to people who are listening, you know, you've got this amazing kid writing songs in church, leading worship every week, every Sunday, part of that community. They're on fire. They then get signed to a label.
Right.
And then they never come home for 3 years.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that label will put them on the road on different things. And then it doesn't take much to work out that after that 3 years, they're probably a little bit lost.
Sure.
And it's not all the fault of the label. It's not all the, you know, people make decisions, you know, and also, you know, we want to be successful, so we go for it. But that is something that I've really been super impressed with you, especially because I know, like, that pull of, like, come on, one more tour.
Totally.
One more, just do three more dates. It's and real. It's going to be, and you've always been so brave about that and resisted that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people know that bit of you, mm-hmm. which is the, like, no, mm-hmm. no, yeah. I'm going to, like, stick to my guns. I'm leading this worship team. I'm pastoring this community. Mm-hmm. That's my first love. I'll go when I can go, mm-hmm. and I'll go when I want to go.
Yeah.
And you got to admit, it's kind of worked out for you, isn't it?
Yeah. And it was crazy at the time. Yeah. I mean, when we decided to prefer and protect, I think the word is protect, families. You know, if you're young and you're single, you know, you can kind of do whatever.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong in doing.
Sure. Yeah.
You go for it. Like, yeah.
You do you.
Yeah.
But for us, we just looked at the demand and went, this is not healthy. This is not people being away from their children and their spouses. Like, this is, you know, and so there has to be a better way. And that was our cry when we started Bethel Music, is God, there has to be a better way for people to be able to do what's on their life, to steward the gift on a global scale, be planted in churches, and actually be connected to their families. And it didn't always mean that we fought for them to travel less. We also fought for the families to go with them and paid the bill for that.
Yeah.
And so, again, people, you know, don't know that oftentimes, but it's something that is one of our highest values is the family unit for anyone who's on our team, whether it's a sound guy or a worship leader or a musician, that we try to work it out so that the family, and then we do a lot with community. I mean, if you've known me for 5 seconds, you know that's like one of my top five
words. Your food bill is quite significant. as is ours.
Yeah. We pay for a lot of people to eat in our houses.
Do you ever have that conversation with Brian about, like, okay, this month, it feels like there's not a lot going on, so we don't have to buy as much food, right?
Never.
And then that lasts about 2 days. And all the cupboards are
there. Someone's round.
And, like, oh, sort of 30 people have popped over and, like...
Exactly.
I mean, isn't it amazing how, like, 28 pizzas can get devoured in one night by your worship team?
Exactly.
But we love it.
Or just someone who's in town. I mean, you guys are, we're like mirrors in that. Like, we just really, really love people. And I think that's one of the billion things I appreciate about you and Anna is that you really care about people. And you've really gently, lovingly pastored so many of us. Mm-hmm. In your friendship and in your love and in your food on your table and people around your house. And so I think, like, when we became friends, it was something that I just felt instantly at home in your house.
Yeah.
Like, I'd known you 100 years. Like, I could tell you anything and you'd love me. And you'd also tell me the truth back, whether I wanted to hear it or not.
Anyway, this is your podcast. So let's stay on track.
Okay. I'll have you on my podcast.
Let's talk about your food bill.
It's high.
But the thing that I think about a lot is, if you think about the history of the Christian faith, you know, let's say 3,000 years, a very small part of history has been this modern Christian worship movement, okay, where, you know, of course we have electricity is invented, which means you can then record music, right? And then once you've recorded music, it means you can then sort of export it, you can sell it, you can distribute it. Now, that moment in history has only really been 100 years.
Wow.
So we're all learning how to do the sort of psalmist, be a psalmist.
Right.
Someone who sings to the Lord, sings over people, and yet we have this industry.
Yeah.
How on earth, right, do you be a worship pastor, worship leader in your church, and also run a label, which effectively is a commercial system which enables people to get music out? And let's face it, it's a brilliant system. But my goodness, like, how Is it possible? You know, Jen Johnson. Yeah. Is it possible?
It is by the grace of God and the voice of God. I had a, at Bethel, we have a Christian school.
Yeah.
And when your child is in third grade, the teacher for your Mother's Day present brings the mom in and the little kids pray over them and prophesy. It's Bethel. We believe what the Bible says, that you all may prophesy. So we teach our kids to hear from God and that God has great things to say about people. And we all practice hearing him, and that's life. So all these little kids are gathering around me. And it was at this time of my life where my plate was full.
Yeah.
Overflowing. And I had come into this, not telling the kids, but I had come into them kind of really heavy of like, God, my plate is full. What do I take off the plate?
Yeah.
You know, we had so many kids and just so much going on. And like, I don't want to overdo it, but I know that you'll speak to me. And so I go in, sit down. All these little kids are praying for me. This one little guy puts his hand on me and he's like, I just see a really big plate of fruit. He goes, and fruit is falling off the plate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in my heart, I'm like, tell me what to take off the plate, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, and you think you need to take fruit off the plate.
Yeah.
But God made your plate bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I bawled my eyes out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it seems like too much.
Yeah.
But God is so kind in how he strategizes it. And I've never, more than the past 2 years, I have never felt more dependent on God.
Yeah.
I've always felt very confident. And even though my life has been a lot emotionally, that there's always been grace for it. God's always navigated me through it. But the past couple of years with taking over the label and just kind of a lot of hardships that we went through relationally, I felt like I was going down, honestly.
Yeah.
I felt like, God, this is too much. Mm. And, but yet the grace of God of, no, you've got this. And a friend of ours had a dream kind of in this pivotal time of Brian's like, I need to be out. He was the president since the beginning of the label. And, it takes a toll on you to lead. Right. And he just said, I need to be out.
Yeah.
And we just prayed about it. And we were like, okay, what are we going to do? I was just a mom and an artist and a pastor.
Yeah.
And I prayed about it, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I need you to take this, even for a season, was the phrase. And so I was like, all right, done. But oh my God, how? So that would have been 2.5 years ago, I think now. This girl has a dream.
So then you are then becoming the boss of Bethel Music.
President, yeah.
I mean, you're made of steel, aren't you?
Yeah.
Come on, carry on.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wolverine. So she has this dream and she calls me and she's like, she doesn't know anything. She doesn't know that it was a tumultuous time. And she said, I saw this huge ship and you were at the front of the ship and our current CEO was on the deck as well. But she said, and the ship was going down.
Yeah.
Tumultuous storm, other ships around. Everybody knew Bethel Music was going down in a big sense. People, everybody on the boat included. And she said, Jenny, you stepped to the front of the boat and you stuck your finger out to the tumultuous storm and you said, this ship is not going down.
Yeah.
And just like how when you work out, you don't see progress overnight. It takes a few years.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson.
Yeah. Let's talk about Brian's muscles in a bit.
Okay, good.
Okay, we need to come back to that.
I love that.
Okay, sure. That'll be the highlight of this podcast.
So she said, you know, nothing seemed to happen, the workouts aren't. And she said, and again, you stepped to the front, you stuck your finger out. You said, this ship is not going down.
Yeah.
And the ship came out from underneath the water to hovering over the water. The storm calmed to a perfect, peaceful sea. The ship sat back down on the water and continued to move forward.
Wow.
And it was like literally the injection of courage.
Yeah, great.
I knew it was the Lord. Yeah. I didn't know how or, you know, because one of our other pivotal guys, Dom, had also, you know, taken a season to manage Brooke. And he's a pivotal part of our world. And so I just felt, I felt up a creek without a paddle, as my granny used to say.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that to say, the Lord built in me something that I'm so grateful for in that I can't do this. This is out of my wheelhouse. Yeah. I'm not a CEO. I'm not a business. And the Lord just guided my steps.
Yeah, amazing.
Mark Check helps a lot.
Amazing,
So anyway, all that to say, I'm very thankful for that season. And now it's thriving. Dom's back. Dom is my vice president.
Yeah, Dom Chabon.
Who's legendary.
Yeah.
Brian's back in his role. And the ship's back on the water.
Amazing.
So,
but every now and again, there's a moment in history where something happens on the fringes and it sort of becomes part of the world that we all live in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about even for us, like, we grew up in a little town called Littlehampton.
Right. Right?
Nobody knew about that town in England.
It's so cute.
But that youth revival 30 years ago came out of the most unexpected place.
Yeah.
This is coming out of Reading. It's not LA.
Right.
It's not New York or, like, Atlanta. You know, this is... Well, where is Reading? Oh, yeah. Okay. So you go to San Francisco and then you drive 4 hours.
Pretty much.
Well, who's going to want to go there? But that's quite classic of God to do that.
100%.
He kind of picks this place on the backside of nowhere.
Bethlehem.
Yeah. And then, okay, I'm going to bless that. And then all the songs.
Yeah.
And music that's come out of your world. I don't think you have any idea, none of us really do, of the fullness of how that's touched the earth.
It's wild.
And will continue to. And it's, well, it's amazing. But, you know, like we were saying, it's only a recent time in history, really, that there's been this sort of boom in people writing songs in their churches. And then what do you do with all these songs? And everywhere you go now, churches have got record companies and publishing companies linked to the church. And I often think how difficult that is.
Yeah, better be the Lord. My God, it's not easy.
It's like my eldest daughter, Ellie.
What a
doll. You end up having so many hats because it's like, oh, Dad, I've got a song. Can I play your song? Well, the dad hat is like, oh, that song is amazing, right? But the songwriter hat goes, oh, what if?
Yeah.
Well, not hardly ever with Ellie, but, maybe this and then maybe that. Or it's like, Dad, I want to sign to this label. And then it's like, yeah, amazing, right? And then the record company goes, oh, what about, you know, what are you actually signing? And
right.
So we have all these different hats. And you, out of anyone I know, will have multiple hats. Does it work? How does it, you know?
I feel...
In 30 years' time, we're going to look back and go, we should never have done
it. Yeah, I'm sure. I could give you a long list of things I would have done differently. But yeah, I think that... I think with anything in life, if we take what is presented before us and we just simply ask him, I have this simple thing with the Lord. I'm like, red light or green light? And it's so simple, but I love that he's a dad and we can come to him on every single thing. So whether it's what we do, whether it's where we go or who we connect with, or I'm always going, Lord, is this you? And even if it's the most incredible opportunity or if it's an opportunity that looks like it will affect no one in comparison to what other things could, no matter what comes along, I'm always going, Lord, what do you want us to do? And our whole team is the same, just prayerfully considering that. And I think kind of like in the game Candyland, where you jump to the next things, I think the Lord has led us along the way. And even if we've gotten it wrong a few times, there's always an easy way to get back. And I think that it's the word of God and the voice of God, the love of those two, that he leads me. Like the Bible says, he leads me.
Yeah.
And I believe that for us as a record label, I believe as a family, and God's just been so faithful to do it. And even if you get it wrong, like I said, he corrects it and gives you, you know, a way to still win the game.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the songs and stuff because you're an incredibly prolific writer. I talked to Brooke Leisurewood about this and to Darlene Check. The same sort of question was that every now and again, you know, that these songs that we get given, they're like bombs, aren't they?
It's so amazing.
They're so sort of out of the natural that they're like you let a bomb off and it just it goes.
Right.
And it's out of our control. And you know, you're very fortunate as a writer if you maybe one of those comes to you in your life.
Totally.
That's enough. Like, what a miracle. But you've got several of those. You know, I think
coming from you, that's flipping crazy.
God, I look to you. You know, goodness of God. And now the holy song, Holy Forever. My favorite song actually is the mention of your name. I listen to that a lot off that classical record. I just love that song so much. But and there's others I've not even mentioned. But like many, many, many songs that you've had part of Touch the Earth. I mean, be as honest as you can, because I think it's helpful for people that are listening. You know, we don't live in this sort of weird world of sort of spiritual, you know, none of this affects us.
Yeah.
You totally. Know, we sort of glide through. Oh, yeah, I've had a big song. Yeah. Yeah, I've just.
It's wild.
It doesn't affect me in the slightest. Yeah. How has it changed your life?
Man, I think that those songs that you mentioned, for starters, you know, God, I Look to You was a song that I wrote as a something I sang in the car to God. Mm. Like, God, I look to you because I am overwhelmed. I sang that.
Yeah.
That was original. Just honest.
Yeah.
Honest,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you keep singing that, you'll stay that way. And I went, oh, I don't want to stay that way. So he said, sing I Won't Be Overwhelmed. Declare it. And so I changed the lyric. Yes, sir. Yeah. I won't be overwhelmed. Yeah. You know, and then that song, you know, I didn't ever think it would become something.
Yeah.
It was just always just my song with the Lord. Until one day I had written the other part, God, I look to you, the other part of and I will love you, Lord, my strength, separately. And then Brian had the idea, I believe. He said, well, what if you put that and this other thing that you, together?
Yeah.
You know, but again, when I sing that, it's so funny to me that it blew up.
Yeah.
In one sense, because it was so personal to me. It was that chorus, I will love you, Lord, my strength, was a time I was going into a time to lead worship, and I had a terrible day, and I was not in a heart of worship. I was angry, and I was not doing well.
Yeah.
And before worship started, I just sat down at the piano and just sang that, I will love you, Lord, my strength. And, you know, that became that. And then again, we sewed it together later down the road. So I think in a way, I think that the song's becoming big, was beautiful for me to watch people connected to the humanity in the actual backstory of that. That's not like three people getting ready to write a song that's going to be for the church to be a big song. Like those were two honest moments in my life with my walk with God that came together in a song. And so I think I can't prove it on paper, but I think people feel that the grit in it and the honesty in it, the humanity and the holiness of declaring who he is, even though you're feeling you know, something different. So it's been wild, but it's beautiful. Like, it's such an honor, like, to hear stadiums this year of 60,000 people and 40,000 just singing Holy Forever at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's this humanity song, just to sing this heavenly, like, it's probably something that the heavens are singing about the nature of God, and to hear a stadium of people singing about who he is and his holiness, like, I mean, see you later. Like, that's the goal, is to get people to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I suppose, you know, we're further down the track, aren't we, age-wise? But you've now got a whole generation coming behind us that, you know, all the stuff that's happening is, it wasn't there 40 years ago.
Right.
In terms of, you know, song royalties and CCLI chart and all this stuff that is part of what we do now.
Yeah.
You know, songs being promoted and da da da. How we'll get, maybe we'll get back to that about Gen Z, because I know, you know, we have a real heart for those and how they navigate through.
Yeah.
We'll come to them in a minute, but your other songs, your children, your great songs. So you've got, this is what I've also, we love about you. So you should tell it, but you have your three children, right? And then what?
I remember when we told you and you were like, what? I was like, I know. So we had our three biological children, and our youngest at the time would have been 9.
Yeah.
And then so
you're thinking, great, empty nest.
Yeah, smooth sailing.
Yeah, you're going to buy a boat, go sailing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, different season.
Yeah, yeah.
The chapter had turned out of diapers for a long time.
Exactly.
Everyone sleeping through the night.
Exactly.
And then Darlene actually had been with us in Reading, and she had spoken this word to this worship leader thing that we do, retreat, of the word hineni and what it meant in the Greek or Hebrew. And it's, my answer is yes before you even ask.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Woo.
And I felt like, In a weird way, I felt wrecked after that. And a week had gone by, and I felt like I had, only way I could say it, is gotten pregnant with that. Like, God, what is that for me? Like, yeah. I'm comfortable. I have just spent 10 years building my dream house. I'm living in the faithfulness of God. Yeah. You know, like I had this prayer with God, like, just so we're clear, I'm living beyond my wildest dreams right now. But if giving this all up, if selling this house, if moving to a hut somewhere in a third world country, if that's your will for my life, I will leave all of this and go back there. Just so we're clear.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to miss you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In blessing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't know what it meant, but I just wanted him to know that that's where I'll always be. And a week later, Brian and I were snuggling on the couch watching this show. And a friend had told us we should watch it because it was great. And
in those big muscles again, yeah.
In those arms, back, the arms of love.
The arms of love, yeah.
And so, you know, we're watching the show. And in the show, this white family adopts this brown-skinned baby.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big crier. You'd be surprised, unless it's the Lord, then water works. But tears just start streaming down my face as I'm watching this show. And I'm just like, the presence of God is just, and I just kind of look up to Brian because he obviously realizes that I'm, you know, sobbing. And it was all about adoption.
Yeah.
The whole show was about adoption. And I just look up to Brian, and this is out of nowhere. Like, adoption wasn't in our hearts.
Sure.
That we knew of.
Yeah.
I think it had been all along, but that we knew of. And it wasn't in our minds. It wasn't anywhere. And I heard the voice of the Lord watching that show. I have this gift for you if you want it. And I just looked up to Brian and I just said, I would do it. And the shock of my life is my husband looked down and he said, I would too. And we both kind of scared ourselves. Like, what are we saying? Like, what is happening right now?
Wow.
And we knew it was the Lord. Like, it was just this moment. Brian's best friend, one of my best friends, were both with us on the couch. And we just looked at them. And Brian's best friend goes, something's about to change for the Johnson family. And we hadn't even talked. Like, we weren't saying words.
But like you say, you've already sort of decided before you've talked about it.
Oh,
that's kind of weird.
It was happening.
Here
we go.
I know what's coming.
So we went to bed that night and prayed, and God gave both of us a confirming verse. We didn't need it, but it was helpful. We talked to our parents the next day, and they were over the moon. And we sat our kids down and we said, "Hey, we've prayed about it, and we feel like we're supposed to adopt." And we knew it'd be a boy, and we knew you'd have brown skin. We knew it. We could see it.
Yeah.
And they lost their minds. They were over the moon. My son's circling the table. I'm going to have a brother. Our girls are crying. My middle daughter said, "I've prayed for this every day for, you know." So we adopt him. Ryder Moses got to be there when he was born.
Yeah.
Be along the journey with the birth mom. Still connected. And then we thought we were done, and our kids came to us about 2 years later and said, "Hey, I think we should adopt again." I stood at my kitchen bench and I just said, "God, are we adopting another baby?" And I heard the Lord say, "I think that's a great idea."
Yeah.
And then
how amazing! Moses and Ryder.
Yeah, so we have Ryder Moses and Malachi Judah to complete us. Hopefully, who knows?
They're amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah, you saw me.
It's so wonderful to watch, you know. And my friend, you know, our friends Tim and Rachel Hughes have adopted a little girl. It's just so incredible to see.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in awe of you guys for doing that. It's just such a picture, isn't it, of like the dad, the father, and
it's amazing.
Amazing. But what else can I ask you? I mean, this is so amazing to just talk like this. I have a few questions for you.
Okay.
What are you going to be doing in 10 years' time? What do you visualize?
I better have a lot of grandbabies.
Yeah.
So that's my first dream, which I think that's a no-brainer. But I honestly hope a lot of the same.
Yeah.
Something that we say right now, Brian and I, you know, I'm 41, Brian's 45, and we are really curious about the future.
Yeah.
And we're really in that tender place of, God, we'll just keep doing all of what we're doing now if you want. But funny enough, God spoke just really clearly, other than all the obvious of what we're doing right now, God spoke to us to build in Nashville.
Yeah.
And so we are building in Nashville. We are in escrow on a big piece of land.
Do you know what I love as an English guy? Right. I've never told you this.
Can't wait.
The way you guys just like go, you go and buy a bit of land and hey, I'm just going to build my house. Like it's so alien for us. Like we've got like our, you know, 10th of an acre of like little land that costs, you know, the earth.
Yes.
And hey, and I also like the way you say property. Because we would say, oh, would you like to come to our house for tea? Or we'd say, oh, this is my property. And you say, you want to walk around my property? And I've always loved that. I've never told you that.
Yeah.
But just it just sounds so cool.
Yeah.
You want to come around my property? Just, it's epic. I feel like I'm in a movie, right? So
we dream big.
I know.
And it's funny because, like, you know, we, from the beginning, God has expanded our house as he's expanded our team and our reach and our house, like yours, is kind of an open door with our local team and kids and friends. But there is somebody from the outside global worship community in our house. And I'm not exaggerating because, you know, you've lived it with us on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So there's somebody in town from somewhere
it's
doing something
ending.
Up at church. Or,
Yeah.
And so it's been so cool that, like, when we were first married, we had this tiny little house, and then God has just increased us, and not for the sake of bigger and better, but to host, to build community, to build the local community and the global community of what he's doing, and to foster the relationships and the retreats. And so we got to have a big place.
Yeah. No, come on. America. I love it.
Yeah.
So next question, you're having coffee with a 16-year-old Jen Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Right. And what would you say to her?
I don't know. I think I'd probably say, just be faithful and love Jesus, and your life's going to be beyond your wildest dreams.
What would you say to Gen Z? Okay, Gen Z, this sort of 16 to 26 age group.
Yeah.
They're starting out music, writing great worship songs.
Yeah.
They now can see there's an aspirational path.
Sure.
Which didn't exist probably for us at the time. Oh, if I do this, this and that, maybe I can do this. What would you say to them?
Mm-hmm. I think getting connected to something that is healthy is really important.
Mm.
And I think being a part of something that's bigger than you, I think my number one is being connected to a local church, actually serving something that doesn't give you anything back. It's just serving is a huge one. And being known and finding community that you can, I think that's one of the number ones. I think that one of the toughest things is this.
Yeah.
I think that one of the biggest schemes of the enemy is distraction.
Yeah,
just
phones.
To keep people somewhere else than where they are right now.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think it's bad. I think it's beautiful. What an incredible age we live in that we could say anything beautiful about God or a song or anything, and it could go to the world.
Yeah.
That we could contact anyone in our life.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Thank God I couldn't contact you back in the day. That would have been, you know, very strange. Yeah. I would have been writing all the funny... She's probably a stalker. You know, but I think that this right here, we have to be careful.
Yes.
We have to be careful because even if we're avoiding sin on this, which it's a sin trap.
Yeah.
Even if we're avoiding sin on this, the other side of the enemy is just to distract you and keep you from doing your God-given thing on your life. So just be cautious, limit yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in this. How long should I be on this a day? God, convict me when I go down a path that is leading me to death and not life. You know, just that relationship with God. God doesn't want you to not have a phone. That's ridiculous. But just keeping this, that it wouldn't be a stumbling block, not only to sin, but to your creativity, to your God-given purpose on the planet. And then purity. I think purity is so important. The grace of God is endless, but sin destroys our lives.
Yeah.
And so we have to be more focused on the holiness and purity of who God is and who he's called us to be than the fact that he forgives.
Yeah.
Because of course he forgives. Of course we're human and make mistakes, but our focus can't be on that. Our focus needs to be on the higher calling, the even more excellent way that God's called us to.
No, that's amazing.
So I think those are the three strongest.
Yeah, because I find like, you know, listening is the path to wisdom, isn't it? It's like that. It's a powerful thing to be able to sort of take space and like actually listen to yourself, to God, to your wife, to your friends. Listening is so powerful, but all the time we're absorbing content.
Right.
We're diminishing that ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, that's what makes great decisions, isn't it? Is being able to listen properly.
Yeah. And I think the other two things that I think are really important, and I'm just going to hit it, is staying in the Bible for yourself.
Yeah.
I know for me, even like if I get up in the morning and I read the Bible and have my time with God before the day starts, I am a different person throughout that day.
Totally, yeah.
And you can't hear a podcast, you can't hear a preacher or a friend give you that. We have to be in the Word of God for ourselves because it is living and active and speaking to us about everything in our life. And I think for Gen Z, like there's so much noise coming at us that we have to make sure that the source that we're actually getting the Word of God for ourselves in us. And then lastly is health.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, mental health is a hot topic, but I think overall health is really important. Counseling is really important. I think that if you're going to get therapy or counseling, it needs to be a Christian therapist because you don't want someone giving you advice that's not coming from a kingdom perspective. But physical health, what you're eating, are you exercising?
Yeah.
Are you drinking enough water? We can't take these things lightly because we're called to steward the temple of God that we are. And especially creatives who are so emotionally driven, things like lack of exercise and healthy food make you get weird fast.
I know. So on that note, like, what do you do to chill out? Like, what? Where's your happy place at home away from all of this?
My trail. Walking.
Yeah.
Walking somewhere in nature. I think another thing, especially for creatives, is get in nature.
Yeah.
You feel small. You feel, I don't know, it just, if I'm outside, a treadmill doesn't do it for me. I like to be outside and walking in nature by water or in the forest. We have a big trail. So find what works for you, right? Yeah. Brian's got a trainer 4 or 5 days a week.
Of course. On the property.
On the property.
He comes to the property.
He does.
Yeah.
But I think you have to find what's going to work for you. And then it's worth every penny because nothing's more important than your health in the longevity of your life. So I think taking it seriously, finding out your blood, finding out what's going on with your hormones, things like that.
Yeah.
And not just like medicating, but actually, you know, finding out how to get healthy is really important.
Amazing. Well, look, I guess we're coming to the end, but thank you so much.
Love you.
For hanging out with me and doing this. Before we go, three words to describe yourself, like just off the cuff, like, you know, when you sort of, someone cut you open, like what, who are you? Like three things.
The Holy Spirit is probably my number one favorite words. I would say family, community. That's kind of the go with community, maybe. My family would count for that. And then it's probably going to be a tie for... Oh, that's hard. The word is going to be intentional for me. One of my favorite words is just intentionality.
Yeah.
Not haphazardly, but intentional. I'll go with those.
Yeah.
Intentional, community.
I think you're a worker.
Yeah.
You're grafter. I like the Holy Spirit thing. You're always going to... Mm-hmm. Always going to do that. Yeah.
Are you adding to mine?
Yeah, I'm adding to
it.
I'm just mum. Like, just mum. You're a great mum.
Thank you.
Anyway, look, I have the feeling that this is part one of maybe we could do a series of 10 of these.
Martin and Jen.
Because I've only,
That's a ring to it.
I know, it's this because we've only just started getting there.
Yeah.
So we'll draw this one to a close, but thank you so much.
Thank you.
For this. And I know that people have loved hearing you and it's amazing. So thanks for coming, Jen.
My honor. I'll ask you next time.
Yeah.